And so even though everyone was, you know, piling on, it was like, I said that to him. And I tell you, I have never seen my father move so fast than that day. And he moved, and I knew it was coming, and the next thing I know, I'm getting up off the ground, and I'm like, what in the world just happened? And I bowed my head, and I slunk to my room, because there's nothing else to do at that point, right? He lays you out, and it's just, there you are. Now, the years may have grown, and the story may have embellished over time, but the facts remain. I said the S word, apparently, to my father, and that is something you don't ever, ever say. With that being said, have you ever said something hastily? Or even if we're talking online, have you ever posted something quickly? And almost as soon as you post it, as soon as you send it, as soon as you say it, you realize you've made a mistake. It's like you see your father coming barreling at you and you know, I'm about to get it because of what you've posted. Or maybe you looked at it and you instantly regret what you've said. Or it could be a moment of time where maybe a day goes by and you're like, oh, I really shouldn't have said, I shouldn't have posted something. This series, we're going to look at both the positive and negative aspects and effects of social media, what that has on our faith, what that has on the effects on our relationships, and the effect it has on our overall character. And hopefully it will help us mold us more into being more like Christ in our life. And the story that I want us to look at today is found in Matthew chapter 12. As we're talking about words said in haste, words that were spoken that didn't necessarily turn out very well for the person or people who said it. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. It's going to be on the screen behind me there we go. So stand with me, if you will, as we read Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. This is Jesus speaking. This is what he says to a group of people. He says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Let's pray. Father, as we explore these words, as we explore the context and the situation surrounding these words of Jesus, Father, would you impact us? Would your Spirit come and convict us? Would you come and encourage us? Show us what it means to live a Christian life, followers of Jesus, in our world today, and the impact our words have both in person and online. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So some context for what Jesus says, because if you're like me, you read these words, you're like, well, those are pretty serious. Something really must have rubbed Jesus the wrong way, because that's pretty serious stuff. If you look earlier in Matthew 12, you read about Jesus eating on the Sabbath. And if you remember a few weeks back, as we were looking at the Sabbath day and all the rules and the regulations, Jesus and his disciples are walking through a field on a particular Sabbath, and as they're walking through the field, they're picking this grain out of the stalks and eating them. The Pharisees see them doing this and just have a conniption fit. I mean, how in the world, Jesus, how in the world can you abide by this? You're breaking the Sabbath. Don't you know the rules about Sabbath? I mean, you're literally working, Jesus, you and your disciples. And then if eating on the Sabbath wasn't bad enough, then later on in chapter 12 of Matthew, we read that Jesus has the gall to heal someone on the Sabbath. And if that's not crazy enough, we read that after he heals this person on the Sabbath day, we read that the Pharisees at this point begin to plot to kill him. So Jesus breaks the Sabbath by he and his disciples eating the grains in the field. And then he apparently breaks the Sabbath by healing someone, a miracle on the Sabbath day, the day that is supposed to be all about pointing to God and how God is provider. He heals someone, and we read that in response, the Pharisees say, we got to kill this guy. We have to kill this person. So it's in this context, the Pharisees are so infuriated at this man Jesus and what he is doing to their rules and their societal standing, they're so filled with, I would say, hate, so filled with anger at him, that in response to him healing someone, the Pharisees say, yeah, he healed this person because he's in league with the devil. It's all by the devil's power that Jesus could do this. And then Jesus responds with these words. So he's speaking to the Pharisees when he says, I tell you, Pharisees, that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word. In other words, every hasty word that is spoken. For by your words, Pharisees, you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. He just heard them attribute this healing miracle on the Sabbath to the devil, to Satan. And Jesus won't let that stand. They have this fury within them. They have this, as a result of this anger, as a result of this fury, they have this knee-jerk, you are my enemy mindset, and proclaim that what you have done, Jesus, is from the enemy. It's a hasty remark made out of anger, because they've labeled him the enemy. We have to destroy him. And then they say these words. By your empty, hasty, knee-jerk, reactionary words, Jesus says, my paraphrase, you will give an account. Now, what does this have to do with social media? What does this have to do with posting on Instagram or Facebook or sending an email? When we, as followers of Jesus, engage on social media, we need to be aware of the conversations and the statements we are casually making. And just like verbal words, words that we say out of our mouths, the things that we type, the things that we post, the things that we share, retweet, forward, they can be used to harm, or they could be used to help. And the effects linger long after you hit the post button or the send button or the share. For the Pharisees, what they flippantly said, he's doing this in league with the devil, it got them into some serious hot water. But the reality is, it was already in their Pharisees' hearts. It was already in their mindset, this anger, this thought that Jesus could do no good. I mean, when you look back in the context of Matthew 12, claiming that Jesus is an agent of the devil is pretty severe, wouldn't you say? But what the Pharisees said in this story of Matthew 12, it's actually reflective even in our world today in this right now mindset of social media. when we read something, when we hear some bit of information of things happening in the world, then some people, some of us, we feel like we have to voice our feelings, we have to voice our opinion right now, and so we write it up, or we see some post that matches our narrative, and then we have to quickly post that to get our 2 cents in. We are so quick to engage in online drama and retweet or share some viral video, and we don't give a moment's thought about what this means to our witness as followers of Jesus or our lack of self-control. Now, maybe what happens is if we hastily post or retweet, it makes us feel good because of the endorphins rush that we get by I'm participating in this. I'm adding my thoughts to this. We're promoting the narrative that we happen to agree with, or we think we're dismantling the narrative that we disagree with. If anything for us, as we read these poor Pharisees and responding in haste, and what a mistake that was. If anything, the idea of knee-jerk reporting or reposting or sharing some thoughts before you think things through, the past 4 years of our news media and their reporting and the mistakes they have made in the past 4 years should be this grand big billboard of don't report things, don't post things until you know the full story. How many times have we seen reporters and anchors have to backtrack and say, wow, we made a mistake, we blew this one? How many polls have been wrong and then said, well, we really, man, I don't know why we reported on that. Our lack of self-control in a passionate moment can be damaging to our character, to our testimony of who Jesus is and his kingdom. And it seems like many have learned, or maybe they need to relearn, the art of nuance in life. You know, too often we like to paint with a broad paintbrush, and everyone is in the same boat as this, and everyone agrees. And we forget there's so many gray areas and there's nuance. Maybe we feel pressure to speak or type too soon. Maybe we feel like, if I don't say something, people will think I'm silent, and so I'm in agreement. And so I have to add words to the topics before we really flesh them out, before we truly understand what exactly is going on in the world around us. While there are aspects to social media that are incredibly helpful, we just had a Zoom meeting with my mom's side of the family yesterday because they celebrated my mom and my uncle's birthday, and so the whole family could join on this social media platform to see each other and talk and laugh and share stories. So there are amazing things that social media can bring to our existence. However, I feel, and I believe, that social media has encouraged some kind of an impatience within people. It's almost destroying our ability to be patient due to how quickly we can access information. It's all right there at our fingertips. That you just type in a word and hit enter, and you can get an entire world full of information. Someone shared with me a few days ago, their teenagers, their kids couldn't believe that parents didn't have access, immediate access to Google when they were growing up. Can you imagine that? You mean you didn't? You didn't have Google? Now, when I was growing up, it was something called Ask Jeeves or Dogpile. But I can remember having to use dial-up. You have to wait till 10 o'clock at night before you go online because the internet took up your phone line, so you couldn't talk on the phone and be on the internet as well. But I have a really hard time remembering what life was like before the internet. Anyone else? Can anyone else remember what life was like before the internet? But these kids, these students were like, what did you do? I mean, how did you get information? Google was so great. Like, we went to the library and we used the Dewey Decimal System. Does anyone remember that? And they're like, what in the world is a library card system? You mean I actually had to walk someplace and pull out a drawer and flip through the little cards? Why couldn't you just go to the librarian? Well, that's a good question. I guess I could have gone to the librarian. And so it feeds into this impatience. I can have the information right now. Right? You have conversations and you're like, well, I don't know the answer to that. You pull out your phone and let's ask Google. Let's ask Siri. And bam, the information is right there. How many people have gotten frustrated or upset? You text someone and they don't immediately respond. Are they angry with me? Where could they be? Why aren't they responding? This impatience eventually spills out into the way we rush to respond to every single hot topic out there. And we don't stop to ask ourselves, is it really necessary that I engage with this? Or can I just keep scrolling? Despite those posts that you read, some will scroll on by, but if you love Jesus, you will post and share with five people. Come on. Communicating on social media should be done in the same way we used to approach talking in person. And it's also a proverb. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Just because I know some people are thinking this and probably online, it doesn't mean that you speak in a slow cadence. It means that you hold your tongue. Maybe I don't need to respond to this. A very wise person said, you know what? The world will continue even if you don't share your opinion. In fact, this idea of being quick to listen and slow to speak with regards to social media, some of the most informative posts I have ever read on Facebook and Instagram, they have come from people who start their post by saying, I have been thinking about this for a long time now. And here are some thoughts. And then what happens is you click, and sometimes it says see more because it's a long post. And for some of us, we just scroll on by because are you kidding me? It takes longer than 2 seconds to read this post, so I can't. It's too much. It's too long. It's that impatience feeding into us again. But you read these informative posts, and they're long, and they're well thought out, and they're encouraging. It's not snarky. It's not passive-aggressive, trying to get in a little barb here and there. A great example that has happened recently. I don't know. There's a guy who he was on a TV show called Man's Dirtiest Jobs. I think his name is Mike Rowe. How many of you have ever heard of Mike Rowe? Terrific guy, because when he speaks, when he posts, it's like super long. Here's an example of one of his posts on Facebook. And that's just the beginning. If you were to go onto his Facebook page and read this post, it's 8 paragraphs long. But here's the post. Apparently, he's got a new TV show that he's in. And someone responded to this idea that he's out there. And he's like, aren't you concerned about your crew and your show contracting the coronavirus? Aren't you concerned about spreading it? And his response is, I don't know if you can read that, at the very beginning, he says, hi, Darlene, of course I'm concerned. I'm just not petrified. And he goes on to explain in a reasoned, well thought out, life-affirming post about where he's coming from. And he says, I'm living my life. I'm choosing the risk. And when I'm going out, if I can't social distance, I wear a mask. If I'm around people that are in the high-risk category, I wear a mask because he's thought it out and he lives his life. But it's not a quick read. 8 paragraphs long. And if you read it, you come away with it going, wow, why can't he run for president? Because it's actually using his mind, his brain that God has given him. It's so well done. And there have been so many people from this congregation that have posted long, well thought out comments. These Pharisees in Matthew 12, they reacted in a knee-jerk reaction. And if there was social media back there, it would have been a little quick, in the heat of the moment response, hit share, and it didn't turn out well for them. When Jesus condemns their words and gives them the warning of what's going to happen come judgment day because of these empty, he says, flippant, hasty words. As followers of Jesus, anything that we do, anything that we say, should be done with Christ's mission in mind. Not our own agenda, not our own narrative that we think is right or wrong and that we want to push, but simply, what is the mission of Jesus Christ? Are we posting things? Are we saying things in real life and in person that reveal the glory of God? And again, I'm not saying that everyone should go home today and post a sermon online, write out a sermon. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you post, when you open your mouth and speak to one another, do you have the mission of Christ in mind? Are you saying things, are you posting things, retweeting, sharing things that reveal the glory of God? Another way of thinking of this is just like the rules for speaking, and you may have heard of these rules before, the same applies to social media. And the rules are this: is it kind, what you want to say, what you want to post? Is it true, what you want to say, what you want to post? Would you want it said of you? Is it kind? Is it true? Would you want it said of you? Think those three things before you speak, before you post, before you share. And pastorally, I would say, if the answer is no to any one of them, please don't. Another way of saying this, abiding by these three simple rules, is your post affirming life? Is it encouraging? Is it building others up? Or will it tear down? Will it create division? Will it make someone feel awful in your head? Calling people names? Posting about how idiotic you think someone is not helpful to the mission of Jesus Christ. It is not helpful to the mission that he has called us. That mission that he has called us is the ministry of reconciliation. And the simple rules that Christ gave us is to love God with all of our being and to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's those two simple things. One last point, and we'll wrap up. Before we speak, before we share something that we've seen online or in the news or someone shared with us, before we share anything, before we speak anything, could we make sure that what we're saying, that what we're posting is true? Because too often, I will personally go through my social media accounts and see things and like, I don't think that's accurate. I don't think that actually happened. How many of us on social media, maybe you've seen statements or you've seen posts or memes that are attributed to people that end up not being true? And for those of you who need an example, I have this one. Have you seen things like this? Abraham Lincoln is quoted so many times on the internet, and often it's like, no, he didn't say that. Or if you share a post, make sure it is not based on falsehoods. Even if you think, man, this just builds on the narrative that I agree with. First, be like the Bereans in our Bibles, those young Christians who heard messages and like, wait a minute, let's research for ourselves what this guy Paul is speaking and whether it's true or not. Before you share, before you post, find out if it's true, if it actually happened. The Pharisees were so bent on their narrative that Jesus had to be done away with, to be killed, that he just does all things that he does is wrong and evil, that what they said wasn't true, even though it fit their narrative. Again, we may feel good about posting things because it fits our narrative, but make sure before you post, before you speak, that it's accurate. Prime example, I saw this quote from Mr. Rogers. Growing up, I loved Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. It was just a tremendous show that helped young kids navigate emotions and how to express what they were feeling. And I saw this quote, and I was like, oh, that is so life-affirming. And I almost clicked share, but then I was like, wait a minute. Did he actually say this? It sounds like him. It sounds like something he would say, and there's his picture. But I went back and I did research, and I went to Google because I couldn't go to the library. And I typed in the quote, and sure enough, it was at a graduation commencement that he was speaking at that he said those words. And so then with that truth behind the post, I shared it. These Pharisees that we read in Matthew 12, they were so locked in, tunnel vision on their narrative. They were so consumed with venom, with anger, with hatred toward this person that as a response, out of the fruit of their heart and their mind, they spewed this falsehood, this lie about Jesus in these hastily made remarks. And Jesus says to them, by your words, by these empty words that you say, you will be acquitted, you will be condemned. So my encouragement to you this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, followers of Jesus, both in person and online, before you speak, before you share, before you continue on a story or a thing that you've heard, pray. Research. Maybe even take some time to step away from your screen and breathe and say, will this bring honor and glory to my Lord and Savior Jesus? Will this speak life to others? Or am I simply responding in passionate anger, frustration, and I want to deal with this other narrative? Because what we want to see as followers of Jesus ultimately is that he gets the glory. He receives the honor by what we say, by what we post, by how we live. Will you stand with me as we close? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this story from Matthew 12 and just the eye-opening experience from the Pharisees and where they were and how they had such animosity toward Jesus and the disruption that he brought to their set way of life. Father, many of us utilize social media. Many of us utilize different components of the internet, and we thank you and we thank people for the brilliance of how that works, the way it can connect people, the way it can make others close at hand even though they're worlds away. Father, we understand that that is one more avenue, one more tool at our disposal to shine the light of Christ into our community, into our sphere. Father, I pray for each one of us, whether we're sharing on social media, whether we're speaking to a person on the phone or in person, that we would be quick to listen, that we would be slow to speak, that we would not respond hastily, that we would not allow the passion of the moment or this selfish idea that what I say is so important and it has to get out there right now because all these people are wrong. Father, would your Spirit convict us when we get into that mode? Guide our thoughts, guide our words, both spoken and typed and texted, that bring life to one another, that encourages one another, that focuses up on things above, things of heaven, things of God, who alone brought forgiveness, mercy, and grace to his creation, of whom we are a part of. Walk with us, guide us, and direct us in our day-to-day lives. Give us opportunities to spread your light. We pray this in the name of Jesus and his authority. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Walk with the Lord this morning and this week, and may you be blessed in all that you do and all the conversations that you have. We will see you next week.